We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jesse, are you ready for rapid fire?
I am ready for some rap.
All right, so Jess, the big news of the day, fill in the blank, Notre Dame announcing today that Irish cornerback Benjamin Morrison will miss the rest of the spring with shoulder surgery, but is expected back for the 2024 season is blank.
It is worrisome, and the reason why it's worrisome is you have lost some of your more talented players in terms of spring ball at the quarterback position and now the cornerback position. And the reason why I say Benjamin Morrison is worrisome is it's a shoulder, and shoulders always seem to be nagging or lingering. And anytime he goes up to make a play or comes down awkwardly now, there is a chance that his shoulder is just continuously going to bother him. And so I just don't like this in terms of the fact that this could, you know, potentially be a reoccurring injury for as long as Benjamin Morrison plays football. And I don't want it to be that, but that's why I say it's worrisome, is it's an injury that doesn't go away.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a little touch and go because we don't know the specifics. All they said was this is arthroscopic surgery, and that can mean like a million different things, you know, because did they just go in and clean up a little debris or something like that in there, or is it a full-blown labrum tear, which is, you know, the worst case in it, labrum or rotator cuff. For a cornerback, I don't think you would expect it would be rotator cuff, but a labrum tear, which is essentially what Cam Hart had multiple times, and I've torn both of my labrums. It is the, you know, it's like the band that holds your shoulder together, and, you know, they both of them were operated on via the arthroscopic procedure. It basically means they make little incisions in your shoulder. There's multiple incisions there. They go in through one incision with the scope so they can look around and see what's in there. And then they go in the other incisions with the actual tools that they do the procedure with. And, you know, if they have to repair the labrum or whatever. And again, we don't know exactly what it is, but there are 4 months until the start of the season. And if it is a labrum tear, 4 months is a very short amount of time to recover and get ready to go out there and play again, because they do the procedure. You stay in the immobilizer sling where you can't move your arm for several weeks. And then once they finally take the immobilizer off, you start off with very small movements, you know, getting movement back so you don't have the frozen shoulder and all that kind of stuff. And you can't raise your arm up over your head for even more weeks after that. And then you're finally building it back up. And then you throw football into the mix for a football player, you know? So again, it's a big if. We don't know that that's what it is, but if that is what it is, you know, they said he'll be back for the 2024 season. They didn't say he'd be back for the start of the 2024 season. They just said he would be back for the 2024 season. That means he'll be back at some point. So, you know, like, of course, they're going to put out a tweet that's not going into details with best and worst case scenarios. And so there's a lot that's, you know, TBD in this, you know, so it's not great news. Like, you can, you know, you can try to paint the picture, best case scenario right now, but we don't know exactly what this is going to look like. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And when you throw this in with the fact that you've got your quarterback, you basically got one of your two best players on the defensive side of the ball, arguably the most important on the defensive side of the ball, based on what he's done for the last 2 years, leading the nation in interceptions over the last 2 years. And then you've got your quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. Those are two very significant injuries and slash surgeries in a very short amount of time.
On a preliminary level, what is more impactful in your opinion, Riley Leonard's injury or Benjamin Morrison's injury?
You know, we were talking, and we'll talk a little bit more about the quarterbacks here in a minute. We're going to hear some comments from Marcus Freeman, specifically about Angeli and Kenny Minchie. But the Texas A&M game aside, the next three games after that are pretty favorable. I think, you know, in terms of if you have to go with an inexperienced quarterback, you're going to get home games, you're going to get a couple MAC opponents with Purdue sandwiched in between. The Texas A&M, like just Texas A&M, the team itself, because it's a rebuilding situation for Mike Elko going in, it's the atmosphere, I think, similar to Ohio State that I would worry about the most with a guy like Angeli going into that. You know, like I would still give Notre Dame a shot, but, you know, a good chance actually with Angeli in that game. But not having Benjamin Morrison, I mean, he's literally an All-American candidate. He's an All-American caliber cornerback and a first-round draft pick type cornerback. So that's very significant, I think. I might nudge that, you know, again, just for the start of the season, I would nudge that, I think, up ahead of Riley Leonard because of where they are. I mean, now there's good players behind him. You've got Christian Gray and Jade Mickey over on the other side, and maybe Christian Gray comes over to the boundary and, you know, kind of fills in there. But then you've also, you've got to get those other guys ready to go if you're going to go out there and play championship level football. And again, the schedule is forgiving enough in part there at the start of the season where you can, you know, kind of build those guys up and get them ready to go. But there's going to be some question marks because you're going to have a lot of inexperience other than, you know, Mickey, Clarence Lewis, and Christian Gray.
I will say, you know, I don't know which side I lean. I think right now Benjamin Morrison injury would be more impactful. But, you know, if you're Chance Tucker or Jaden Mickey or Christian Gray, I mean, now's your opportunity, right? Like, this is a tremendous chance for Notre Dame to build depth at the cornerback position, whether or not Benjamin Morrison comes back or not. Best case, he comes back, everything's fine, but now you have incredible depth and guys that challenged each other all spring and got more reps because Benjamin Morrison is sidelined. Worst case, Benjamin Morrison can't play the first few games, maybe misses half a season, and now you got guys who are prepared, young, and talented, ready to step up behind them. And so I know it sucks, but either way, I think it's good that Notre Dame is going to build depth behind Benjamin Morrison during the springtime now.
And I mean, you know, again, you don't want it to happen, period. But if it's going to happen, this is still obviously the better time for it. It's much better for it to happen now than in training camp. But again, not knowing the full extent of what the injury is, you know, so even if it is a labrum tear, at least it's happening early in spring and early in spring practice, so you can begin to get some of those young guys ready to go. You're absolutely right. It's like this is the better time, so you can work on developing some of those guys.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Salty said earlier, buy or sell, early returns on the strength and conditioning program. Riley Leonard and Benjamin Morrison both injured. Well, strength and conditioning has nothing to do with if you're going to have a stress fracture in your foot, from a lingering Leonard injury that started off in your ankle. Yeah, and if you injure your shoulder, you come down on your shoulder, whatever the injury happens to be, there's nothing strength and conditioning can do to help that as well. And injury is an injury. Injuries are going to happen, and it's not all on the strength program. And I did see that Salty may have been trying to troll us with that anyway, and just get a hot take discussion going. But I'm going no. I'm not pinning anything on strength and conditioning when you've got the specific kind of injuries that you've got right there. It's more along the lines of hamstrings and, pulls and things like that. That's when it's a little bit more of a concern. But even then, a lot of it is still specific to the player. It's like you've got certain guys who are a little bit tighter than others, and you just have to kind of.
I have strong bones.
Strong bones? Dense bones?
Strong, dense ligaments, bones. I'm knocking on wood right now, but.
Dem bones?
Not like my mother. She's breaking everything.
When your father's starting to break down as well. Like, I have issues going on. I hurt my back last week. No, wasn't it? You hurt your back a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the.
Is yours better happens. Now?
It yeah. is. I hope you weren't laughing at me, or that it's karma for you.
Oh man, I hurt mine last week, and I've got herniated discs both in my neck and back, and so I tweaked it last week. And what happens is when I sit on those fine steel folding chairs over at Purcell Pavilion, it doesn't know favors. And having two games in 3 days, and I was thinking about it, this happened last year as well before we went to the Sweet 16. But yesterday, I sat down and like I could not, I just had shooting pain through my back, and I could not find a position during the game that would allow me to sit down. So I've got this back cushion that I take over there with me. And what I had to do was put the back cushion on the floor. And I actually knelt down for the final three. I had to kneel on one knee to do the game so that I could be comfortable enough to sit there and do it. And so you might see me shuffle around here in a minute if you're watching live, because I'm getting to the point where it's probably going to happen here as well. Sitting at this 90 degree angle is doing nothing for my back right now, unfortunately. So doesn't bode well for the flight tomorrow out to Albany. I need to take some sedative, I think, and put myself out.
I was just getting ready to say, I don't know if you can. I was going to suggest things that are not YouTube appropriate for a way to knock out on a flight.
Uh-huh. Okay, so after the news of Riley Leonard's foot surgery, Brian Driscoll asked Fighting Irish head coach Marcus Freeman if the quarterback competition is going to evolve Kenny Minchie and CJ Carr, and here is the response.
Well, I think, Driscoll, that you every day you evaluate and say, hey, is there a way to put some pressure on all of them? I don't want anybody getting comfortable. Steve, you know, I don't want Steve to go here. I'm the one, and I'm not worried about Kenny and CJ. He shouldn't be worried about him. He should be worried about Steve. But at the same point, I don't want him comfortable. You don't want anybody comfortable in the position they're in. You want that competition, that adversity to really get those guys to thrive. So, no, this is just for today, you know, and I'm sure it'll probably be for the next practice. But if there's ways to create competition, we would definitely do it.
All right, Jess. So you heard Marcus Freeman there. What do you think?
So this is the good old argument that we kind of had, you know, when a few weeks ago, is there a real quarterback competition for Riley Leonard against the rest of the field? And what we talked about is that you create competition every day, even if there is not, you know, some sort of quote unquote competition for QB1, you still have guys pushing each other every day to be the best version of themselves. And really, that's kind of what Marcus Freeman, you know, was talking about. I don't think he wanted to commit to, you know, it's a competition between these guys and these guys. And he definitely didn't want to commit, you know, because that basically says that Riley Leonard is hurt for a prolonged amount of time. Right. So like by giving one answer, you're kind of giving yourself up to another answer. And so I thought Marcus Freeman handled it kind of how he does all of his other responses, very politically. and again, you're not going to commit to saying, yes, these guys are in a competition. But what you're going to say is, well, Steve is competing with himself every day. Steve and everyone in the room is pushing themselves to be better. So yeah, whether or not you believe there's, you know, a true competition battle or not, I do believe that spots 2 through 3 and potentially, you know, 1 through 3, if something happens to Riley Leonard, are fully up for grabs. You know, either any of those three guys could be 1 through 3.
What's going to happen naturally is with Riley Leonard out, the others are all going to get more reps as a result. And as every practice goes on and as every rep goes on, they've got film on these guys. They're watching them live. They're going back. They're breaking down film. You're going to start to see more of Kenny Minchie, and you're also going to get to start to see more of CJ Carr. And what do you have to do when you've got guys in a position group? Ultimately, you have to compare them to each other, right? And if
especially in a new offense.
Yeah, and if the guys who weren't getting as many opportunities when Riley Leonard was out there are all of a sudden making plays at, you know, the same ability or better as the other guys who they're around, they're going to catch your eye, and it's called meritocracy. And if the, you know, if the C team guy is suddenly performing better than the B team guy because the C team guy is getting more reps and the A team guy's not out there, then he's at least theoretically got a chance to move up the food chain, right? Like that's just what happens when you get more opportunities. That you get more opportunities in a situation like this, and all you can do is make the most of your opportunities. And I just think that, you know, natural selection, you're like it, you've got opportunity now. And so you can say that it's not necessarily a competition, but every day is a competition, just like Marcus Freeman there said. They want to build more competition every chance they get, if possible, right?
Yeah, I mean, every practice is an open competition period, and the whole goal is to get better because, I mean, if your third-string quarterback gets better, it's just pushing everyone else above him better, and that goes for every other position on the depth chart. Competition every day is what makes a team tougher and what ultimately is going to make a team better at the end of the day, because the ones aren't going to play every play. There's going to be times where a two has to play, or maybe a two starts, and now the three has to, you know, provide relief to the two because one is out. Like, all of those guys are going to have to contribute at some point. And so if they can compete every day and get better, it's only going to be better for Notre Dame's team in the long run.
I'm chuckling because of this comment from DK. That's why I start my mornings telling my coworkers they're trash. I am competing against you today. You are here to lose to me.
And you suck.
That's just what your life is about. You're losing to me today. You are garbage. And Tommy says 2 through 3 question mark. And I think what you're referring to is Angeli Minchie and CJ Carr when you're saying 2 through 3.
Yeah, right? I meant to probably say 2 through 4, but you know, another part of this that I feel like you have to bring up is my train of thought just lost me.
It's okay. You've got my back on your mind. I know you're concerned about me now.
I am very concerned about you and your back. I can see you leaning forward now. So I'm like, I know.
I did shift, by the way. I don't, you know, I didn't go down a whole lot going from the chair to the floor, but I am in the kneeling position.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. You know, everyone has talked about Notre Dame's quarterback development. That's such a hot topic, right? And so if you have someone like Riley Leonard out and you have two young guys, and the complaint is, oh, we got to go to the portal, or are we actually going to develop Minchie, Carr, etc. I think this is a great time to do that. Like, you get more time to develop some of these younger quarterbacks. So, of course, Minchie and Carr are going to be a part of the competition because they're working in to develop just like everyone else in the room, right? And so I just think it's similar to Benjamin Morrison. Like, you don't want guys to get hurt, but it allows an opportunity for the backups to get better. So when the starter does return, you have more depth. And if they got to miss more time, you feel comfortable about them stepping in to play.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's just going to get more reps now. And again, because they're getting more reps, you're going to compare them to the other guys. And maybe that begins to affect the depth chart down the road. You never want to see anyone get injured, but all this is going to do is give other guys an opportunity to show what they can do now. And for a guy like Kenny Minchie, this is for Kenny Minchie and Angeli both. This is really a prove it kind of spring to kind of begin to make a move and see exactly what they can do. For CJ Carr, it's still about development, but CJ Carr is also going to get more reps as well. And I was just, where did it go? Someone was saying that the blue gold game should basically be just, here it is, Josh. Angeli and Minchie taking the majority of snaps. I mean, I think that it will be, but at the same time, you're going to have an opportunity to get more CJ Carr in there if there's no Steve Angeli. And as we were talking about yesterday, like Marcus Freeman said when he announced that Riley Leonard is going to be out for at least a few weeks, that he could come back this spring, I would be in zero rush. And in fact, I would want zero part of Riley Leonard returning to action this spring, because of the fact that this is all part of the same lower leg, you know, like from the ankle and into the foot now with a stress fracture in the foot. I would want no part of Riley Leonard coming back this spring. I would
There's
want
no reason.
All non-contact, you know, nothing basically, you know, even that resembles anything live until training camp. Obviously, there will be things that he can do over the summer, you know, throwing and those kind of things. But I would want him doing nothing that even resembles anything live until training camp rolls around. And even then, like Vince said, put him in bubble wrap. You know, Fred says, I think Notre Dame has to be serious that one of the three can be the starter and not assume anything about Riley Leonard. That's a very good point as well. Like, you know, and again, these guys are all going to have a shot to kind of prove that they can be the starter. It begins in the spring. It won't end in the spring, but it begins in the spring, and it's a very good opportunity, again, for these guys to show themselves. And what's going to happen is they're going to put themselves on display in the blue-gold game, and then someone's probably going to have a pretty good game, someone's going to have a mediocre game, and everyone's going to overreact to the guy who has the pretty good game and say that that should be the starter.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of – that should be the segment after the blue-gold game, Overreaction Monday.
Yes.
And let everyone get their overreaction.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Like, do we even need to go through the rest of the spring to get to that point right now? We know that's going to happen. Right?
David, I need to get back to you. David sent this to me in a nice message on LinkedIn.
The guy who sent you the thing about the
pelvis alignment after my back was tweaked? You know what, David? I'm going to be in Columbus this weekend. You and I will be in further communications. I need to get this back right, this pelvis realigned, all of it. So look for a message soon.
Because of the herniated discs that I have in my back, I get these epidural injections with steroid and pain, you know, like the whole thing. But the problem is I can only get them at certain times of the month. It's not one of those deals where you can rush
and just
in
roll and up and get another
emergency epidural injection. Yeah. Unless someone in town's watching and you got my number and you want to, you know, give me one tomorrow morning or even tonight, like I'd roll in tonight.
That plane's gonna be tough. You need to get as horizontal as you can tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the thing is there's no horizontal on those stupid planes. So Tommy says icy hot is hot garbage, is what that is. Icy hot's, you know, like pseudo for the muscles. This is like deep down in the nerve, basically, all the way down in my back. It's just not fun. Someone was, you know, like, hey, you want some ibuprofen? This was yesterday at the game. And I'm like, literally, my body just chews up and spits out ibuprofen and acetaminophen like it's candy, man. I got to have the hard stuff, unfortunately. Even that, I took some of the hard stuff last night when I got back because I've got like some, you know, like pain medicine that I kind of, it's basically my, you know, break glass if necessary medicine if it gets to this. And I took more than I usually do, and it still was doing nothing. The pain was just punching right back at it. So it was actually decent for a while today, and then the more
it just takes one twinge, and then you're right back to the beginning.
I know.
I love the chat. Everyone's going through all the different stuff that they like.
I know. CBD. I've got some recommendations of scotch. Carberry says try some gummies. Voltaren. I don't know what Voltaren is or how I get a hold of it, but is that like animal painkiller or what exactly?
That's that horse tranquilizer.
I know. Horse tranks. I'll just be unconscious during the game on Friday.
Everyone's telling you stretch. People don't realize you're the stretch encyclopedia. You know all the stretches.
I know the stretches, man. There's like a million, and there's literally a lot of times they'll help, you know, and then, or at least help alleviate it. And this is just like kicking right back, man. It wants none of the stretches. It wants none of it. I literally had to sleep on the floor last night because it was like the
so
flattest
straight
part of the surface. Yeah.
That's what I do. I have to lay on a hardwood floor for a few, like 10 minutes just to let things realign.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we better move on.
Let's move. Nobody cares about the labor pains. They just want to see the baby. You know, that's what it's all about.
No one cares that you did a game yesterday and did the Irish Breakdown show. They just want the results.
Kneeling. So here's Marcus Freeman on new offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock's offensive philosophy, talking about using less 12 and 13 personnel and getting in a little bit more 11 potentially.
Yeah, most of it has been 11 in the spring. Number one is because the injuries to Mitch, you know, and Kevin Bauman and even Eli, we're holding him right in certain areas of practice. We're not just saying his load is 100%, right? We're monitoring his load. And so that's why we've been majored in 11 for the spring. You know, the conversations I have with Coach Denbrock is, again, we are going to ultimately put the best guys on the field. If we get into fall camp and we feel like our two tight ends give us a better chance to succeed than having three wideouts, then we'll put two tight ends on the field, I'm sure, which I've seen him do at Cincinnati when we were down there. So the thing I love about it, it's not about as much this is our scheme, who fits it. His mindset is, okay, who are the best 11, right, or the best 22, and how do we tailor the offense around those guys? And the concepts will stay the same. What we do will really stay the same. It's just, who is it? Is it a tight end or is it a wideout?
All right, so what do you think there, Jess? I'm kind of eating this up. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm eating this up and wondering where this Marcus Freeman was last season. Was it his non-trust and an inexperienced offensive coordinator and his kind of, you know, we talked about this last year. What was the recipe or the formula? How much input did Marcus Freeman have on the offense? How much did he, you know, input and say, hey, I want to go heavy. I want to run the ball here. I want two tight ends. I want three tight ends. It felt like Notre Dame was forcing its personnel on its scheme rather than kind of, you know, or sorry, forcing its scheme on personnel and not allowing its personnel to kind of dictate the offense. And so I love hearing this because this is last season. I was asking for it so much of why are we not utilizing our best players and designing plays around our best players? And again, I don't know if that's Marcus Freeman's distrust, inexperience, whatever it might be. And now you have Mike Denbrock, a guy who knows a little bit more. He's been around the block a few more times. And so it sounds like Marcus Freeman is saying, hey, I trust your evaluation of what we have and what you need to do to the offense to tailor it and make us most successful. And so it's really refreshing to hear, but it's also frustrating because I wanted that approach last season.
Yeah, and I mean, I have been – now, granted, you're still going to – there are going to be some instances where they need to use 12, they need to use 13, maybe even some 21, even though we saw 21 – kind of dissipate over the course of the season. We saw it sprinkled in a handful of times, now and then. But I've kind of always been more along the lines of the Sean McVay Rams approach. You know, they have always, you know, again, now it's not that they're always in 11, but they are in 11 probably at least 80% of the time. And you just change formations and move guys around in that same personnel package.
And you show a
package.
Lot of same motions and movements.
Right.
And I, you know what I mean? You keep showing one thing, and now you show a wrinkle off of it. You know,
right.
That's kind of
exactly.
The Sean McVay offense.
Exactly. You know, and again, there are still going to be times where you're going to bring in a second tight end. There might be times, though, as Marcus Freeman said, you even take off a tight end. You know, like how much 10 personnel did we see from Oklahoma State in the second half of that Fiesta Bowl a couple years ago, if you remember that, you know? So it's like, I think it's great, you know, but it also goes to, as Marcus Freeman says, what is the strength, you know, what personnel is your strength? And because of the numbers, like he was talking about with what they have at tight end this spring, tight end is definitely not a strength. Strength, you know, tight end has obviously been more of a strength over the last several years at Notre Dame. Wide receiver has been more of a question mark. So I guess maybe it's made more sense, you know, to get more tight ends on the field, especially when you have a Michael Mayer and, you know, and guys like Mitchell Evans and Eli Raritan, you know, as supplementary guys around him. Wide receiver should be more of a strength, though, this year. So looking forward to the chance that maybe we do see more 11 personnel.
Yeah, and I like this, too, because it aligns with Denbrock's overall philosophy. He's a less of a 13-12 personnel, more of an 11-10 personnel type. And, you know, you can still have elite tight ends and run 10-11 personnel. Essentially, well, probably not 10, but 11 personnel, you can definitely still accomplish things because, you know, look at Georgia's offense with Brock Bowers. I know he's not an elite, you know, or maybe not considered to be one of the better pass blocking or run blocking, you know, tight ends out there. And a lot of people might say he's just kind of a hybrid of a tight end and a wide receiver. But still, you can come up with concepts that get out of the 11 and 10 personnel that you can still utilize your tight ends, right? Yeah. Like you can still have talented tight ends on the field and allow them to be game changers as well. I just really like this, most importantly, because I think it's going to allow Notre Dame's athletes, specifically the wide receivers, to do more in open space.
Absolutely.
And it goes along more with Denbrock's overall offense. So I think it's just really good that that's naturally how it's drifting.
Yeah. And I mean, and again, It's even with Tommy Rees, you know, between Rees and Jared Parker, you're still talking, you know, even with Rees, you're still talking about a fairly inexperienced offensive coordinator, one who's very smart and has been around some interesting concepts in his past, but he was still very, you know, in the very early stages of implementing it. And obviously Jared Parker was as well. Whereas with Mike Denbrock, you've got a guy who has kind of gone through his experimental phase and figured out what works and what doesn't work and what he likes and what he doesn't like, and will be able to implement, I think, a whole lot more. You know, he'll have a better grasp of exactly what it's going to take for these guys. So I like that. Continue to get a lot of interesting recommendations. I like, you know, from Tommy, change your socks, spoken like a true Marine, you know, like it's your socks. That's the problem. You know, you're letting your socks get too wet when you're out there in the field in your boots. DK, I mean, he's going with the very hard stuff. She don't mind. Cocaine. ND Sailor, take two Tylenol, two ibuprofen together. It'll help. Well, maybe if I chased it with a fifth of vodka, it would help. But other than that. But David, the guy with some real nose, says if you just address the symptoms, pain, you will not address the real problem. Okay.
Usually when pain happens, it's the that group is overcompensating and trying to function for whatever is actually hurt. And so that's I think what he's saying is, like, if you have pain, it's a response to someone else, you know, trying to fix what else is going on in the body. So,
right.
I think I got to go with Tommy. I think you just need to change some socks.
Michael says buy some Jordans. Okay. See if that helps. I don't know. I've tried a lot of different kinds of shoes. I don't know if it's the shoes though. Josh wants to know if we're going to discuss the kickoff rule change and the hip drop tackle being banned. Let's get into that right now. We've had a few people asking about that. So NFL owners have approved the big change to the league's kickoff, and it's going to go into effect this upcoming season. The new format is taken from the XFL, and it's meant to reduce high-speed collisions and concussion rates. So here's what it is. Kickers will continue to kick off from their own 35-yard line, but the other 10 players on the kickoff team are going to line up at the receiving team's 40-yard line. At least 9 members of the return team have to line up in a setup zone between their own 35 and 30-yard lines, and up to 2 returners can line up deep in the landing zone between the goal line and the 20. So no one other than the kicker and returners can move until the ball hits the ground or hits a player inside the landing zone. Touchbacks will be marked at the 30, and no fair catches are allowed. This is going to be the only season they're going to use it. They're going to use it in 2024, and then they are going to reevaluate it afterwards. So what do you think? Do you buy or sell this kickoff change?
I'm just doing my duties here. Go ahead and pull this onto the screen if you can.
Okay. Got the screenshot for us. I think Henry's buying.
Yeah, Henry's buying. So this is just a visual representation for anyone that's watching.
Might have to blow it up a little bit. People watching might have to blow it up. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's
okay. But yeah, so this is kind of just a visual representation of what you were just going through. And yeah, it's what the XFL has been, you know, basically experimenting with. And, you know, a lot of people are ultimately going to, you know, say sell right off the bat. But the reason why I buy this is because I'm tired of just seeing kickers blast it through the end zone. If we're going to have a kickoff, at least give the other team a chance to return it, allow it to be an actual play in the game instead of just seeing, again, kickers blast it 10 yards through the back of the end zone. And it's just another wasted play, right? Like if you're going to have this a part of the game, it needs to be functional. You need guys to actually return it and have a chance at returning it, or just get rid of kickoff completely. Just give the ball to the other team as soon as they score. The only kicking that you would need are punts and field goals. Just completely eliminate, you know, the kickoff if guys are just going to send it through the back of the end zone every time. So I, as a fan, appreciate the effort to find a way to get the action back in the game and actually utilize, you know, a kickoff, a true kickoff.
Yes, and someone is asking about the onsides. We'll get to that in a minute because that's kind of a special. And I meant to have the rules on that onside. Basically, you can request it, I think, twice a game or something like that, the onside part of it. Does that sound right?
I don't. The only thing that would suck is you would very clear. I think the element of surprise would be completely gone.
Well, yeah, you're going to lose the element of surprise. That's what's stupid about it. I'm looking at all this different data, and I know that there was something in there about you can request an onside kick, basically. But like you said, you're going to completely lose the surprise. When I first heard of this, I was like, are you kidding? You know, what are they doing? They're really going to do this. I do like the fact that they're not just going to say, this is what the rule is going to be. We're going to do it forever. They're going to try it for a year. And they're either going to tweak it or get rid of it and go back to the old thing. I still haven't seen a ton of data that says I watch a lot of football, both NFL and college. Do guys, you know, get hurt on kickoffs and kickoff returns? Of course. But they also get hurt on a lot of other plays that have nothing to do with kickoffs. It is an impact game. And I guess I appreciate the fact that because of all the modern science and technology and everything else, you do have guys who are bigger, faster, and stronger than ever before, and they are trucking each other at like 20 to 25 plus miles an hour, you know, and they're trying to reduce concussions. They're trying to reduce serious injuries that they say are occurring on these plays. So, and just kind of watching how the XFL did it, I mean, you're basically talking about a couple of stationary lines. The guy receives the kick, and then he runs through it. So I don't have a major issue.
It's kind of like an old school, you know, roundabout, like, Oklahoma drill.
Yeah, the game has evolved over time. They used to wear no pads. Then they wore leather helmets, and they still wore no face masks for a long time. And, you know, they didn't have mouthpieces, and guys bit chunks of their tongue off because they weren't wearing mouthpieces back in the day. You know, they've alleviated some of that. Rules change over time, and, you know, just the way that they do things have changed over time. So I don't have a major issue with it. I will be interested to see, you know, over the course of the season, how it works. Do you think that if it works in the NFL, it's eventually coming to college football as well?
100%. The brain is even less developed at that age. And so if there is going to be success at the NFL level, they are definitely going to implement it at the college level for safety.
DK, on it as always. He says people get injured sitting in chairs doing podcasts. Come on. Are they going to change the rules of podcasts? That's what I want to know. Are they going to change the rules of broadcasts? That's what I want to know.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, Carberry's going back to they make millions. They know what the risk is. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they put in targeting rules. I mean, again, the rules change over time.
Well, and it's
just because they're making millions doesn't mean you want to get your head bashed in and have a concussion and die at 58 because you've got CTE, right?
I mean, would just be a disservice as we continue to advance as a society, you know, technologically, laboratory studies, etc. It'd be a disservice to the NFL to gain all this information and not apply it and try to implement as much player safety as possible. You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just going to end up being flag football at some point. That's just not true. The NFL is going to draw a line of there are stuff that is, you know, to Carberry's point, not as dramatic. They know that there are certain risks, but it's the NFL's job to kind of mitigate those borderline risky stuff that are still controllable, right? And so as we continue to get smarter, I still believe there are certain things on the table for the NFL to continue to amend, but there are certain things that are untouchable. It is always going to be a tackle sport.
Well, look, we were talking with Bryce Young, the Notre Dame freshman defensive lineman, a few weeks ago when we got to talk to the early enrollees over there at Notre Dame. The guy didn't start playing football until like eighth or ninth grade. He's the son of an NFL Hall of Famer. And the reason was because, you know, his dad didn't want him taking all these hits to the head, basically, you know? So like guys who have played the game, they know, you know, they're educated about this stuff. So, you know, just because they're making millions of dollars doesn't mean that there's not a high amount of risk that they're putting their bodies at by being out there on the field. I think that this can still be an entertaining play just because they're changing the rules of the kickoff. I don't think that takes away some of the excitement of it. They're just trying to take out the impact, you know, the high impact of it and try to reduce concussions. So I think that's the biggest thing. Fill in the blank. Notre Dame women's basketball head coach Neil Ivey said after yesterday's win over Ole Miss that Sonia Citron is not talked about enough. So Jess, Citron is blank.
Sonia Citron is a difference maker. Without Sonia Citron, Notre Dame is not on a 10-game running streak or winning streak. They are not playing defense at the high level that they are. They are not making their offense, and the assist ratio isn't as near as good as it would be. Without Sonia Citron, Hannah Hidalgo cannot pull the weight of the rest of the team behind her. And for that reason, to me, Sonia Citron is a difference maker. Notre Dame needs her to perform well, just like they need Hannah Hidalgo to perform well at a high level, right? So, like, right now on this team, I think you have three difference makers, and it's very obvious who they are. It's Hannah Hidalgo, Sonia Citron, and Maddie Westbelt. Anna DeWolf, X-Factor.
The big three. They're calling them the big three all the time now.
But if Anna DeWolf isn't a difference maker, she is an X-Factor. If she gets hot, she's the type of team where it's you're going to stand no chance. Like, if DeWolf goes for 15 and has four threes, it's going to be a long day to beat Notre Dame. So she's an X-Factor. She's not really a difference maker. She's an X-Factor. And, of course, you know, with Natalia Marshall playing now due to injuries, she needs to be the presence defensively, right? And again, that's another X factor. So I think you have three difference makers on this team, and Sonia Citron is definitely one of them. And she's going to be the reason why Notre Dame can continue to make this run in the tournament.
I mean, you're right. I mean, where Notre Dame is right now, entering Sweet 16 territory and hopefully moving on, you know, continuing to move on from there. Anna DeWolf, because the reason they went out and got her was because she was a three-point shooter. I think it was 78 three-pointers that she hit at Fordham last year. She's not quite hitting half of her scoring average from a year ago, but she's obviously not asked to do the same kind of thing when she was at Fordham. She's got other, you know, players around her who are at a different level. You know, from Anna DeWolf, really all you need, like, if she can just hit 2 to 3 timely threes a game, that's really what you want from her. Just like,
really just like stopping a run, or basically stopping or igniting a run for Notre Dame. Just game momentum threes is really what Anna DeWolf is about, you know,
right?
Especially when you have Hidalgo and Citron working in transition, it's a nice kick out to the corner and Anna DeWolf is there.
Yes. My answer to Sonia Citron is blank is criminally underrated. She was the number 8 scorer in the ACC. She has the number 7. She has the 7th best field goal percentage, overall field goal percentage in the ACC. As a guard, she has the 7th best field goal percentage in the ACC. I mean, it's basically all forwards and centers in front of her in terms of field goal percentage. Led the ACC in free throw percentage, 8th in steals, number 23 in block shots, again, as a guard, number 5 in minutes played, right behind Hidalgo. She's 44th in the nation in minutes played this season. And the leader in, you know, in terms of floor burns and bruises and, you know, diving for loose balls and doing effort. The dirty work. Yeah, effort. And as David says, defense as well. She's, again, criminally underrated just in terms of the defense that she provides. So I think that I think she is very, very underrated. She should have been a first team all ACC performer. Again, just looking at those stats and where she ranked in the ACC. But I think, you know, she kind of got overshadowed a little bit, and, you know, and that knocked her down to the second team along with Maddie Westfeld. But, you know, I think that they both deserve to be on the first team. And when you look at where this team is right now, I think if you redid the voting for a lot of this stuff, they all would have been, including Neil Ivey, a little bit higher in some of that stuff. So, fill in the blank. UConn head coach Gino Auriemma calling Husky guard Paige Beckers the best player in America is blank.
Is homerism. It's what you do as a head coach when your team is in the Sweet 16. You are the head coach of UConn, one of the nation's, you know, considered one of the best programs, if not the best program over the last two decades. Like, you're UConn. You crank out the best players in the nation. You crank out some of the best teams in the nation. And Paige dropped 32 in a very crucial game that they needed to move on to the Sweet 16. And so, of course, after, you know, just like if Hannah Hidalgo had that some type of performance against Ole Miss and they needed to rely on her and lean on her a little bit more, I'm sure she would have said the same thing in the post-game press conference, that, you know, Hannah Hidalgo is one of the best players in the country. So it's homerism. It's expected. Do I necessarily believe it? I mean, yeah, she's up there, but she's not the best player in the nation, right? And so, and that's what's going to be, to me, the fun part of getting into the on both sides of the men's and women's bracket into these final 16 teams, is you're truly going to see who some of the nation's best players are, because this is where best players take over, right? Like, on good teams, this is where you shine. This is where, you know, this is what gets you those last second wins, or, you know, the ability to go ISO when the team needs you the most. Like, this is where the great players show up. So I'm really excited to see on this stage, kind of, we as the fans can determine for ourselves who are the best players.
I just felt like, I realize as a head coach, you gotta trumpet your own players and you gotta prop them up and all that kind of stuff. But it felt like, with all the hoopla going on with Caitlin Clark, and then the article that came out last week about Caitlin Clark, the Wright Thompson, long form article that came out at ESPN.com, and it mentions that Gino Auriemma didn't recruit Caitlin Clark. You know, it felt like this was one of those shots, you know, by Gino Auriemma, because, you know, when everybody's talking about somebody else, Gino's got to make it about Gino and UConn. He's got to find a way, no matter what. Like, anytime Muffet McGraw used to open her mouth when she was a head coach, she didn't even have to mention Gino, and Gino was going to shoot back and, you know, fire back, whatever, because a narcissist is going to narcissist, basically. And Paige Beckers was the best player in the nation in the women's game 2 years ago, and she was voted, named the best player in the nation 2 years ago, but she's not now. Caitlin Clark leads the nation in both scoring and assists. She also leads the nation in three-point attempts, nearly 500 three-point attempts of this season. And she also shoots at a 38% clip, which for that many attempts is still a very respectable clip. She's only 2% away from 40% leading the nation in attempts. So you're going to see both of them. You know, I mentioned this at the start of the show. UConn and Paige Beckers are going to be in Albany, New York this weekend. Caitlin Clark is going to be in that same region. Angel Reese and Haley Van Lith are also in that same region with those teams. And Juju Watkins and USC are also in that same region. You've got two regions that are going to be out there. So all those players are on one side. And then you've got Hannah Hidalgo, Sonia Citron, Maddie Westfeld, and Notre Dame, along with Camilla Cardoso and, you know, Dawn Staley's squad in South Carolina over there. There's a few more stars on the other side, but there's a lot of talent that's going to be out there in Albany between those, the Albany 1 and Albany 2 regions this weekend. But, you know, again, to answer the question, Paige Beckers is a great player, but she's not the best player in the game right now. It's Caitlin Clark, and there's not an argument. What about the men's bracket, Jess? Do you have a men's team that lost during the first weekend of March Madness that wrecked your bracket the most?
During the first weekend, I would say, I want to say it was Kentucky, because I think that was
kind of, you know, the one that got a lot of people. But I don't know, like, if any, I didn't have Kentucky going as far. Like, I kind of had them tapering off. I'm just trying to see if there's anyone else kind of big upset wise that screwed me. I mean, BYU kind of got me a little bit when, what is it? Duskany beat them. Other than that, no, I think it was.
Mine's Kansas. I'll just say Kansas because I knew that Kansas wasn't going to go anywhere. But I said this when I did my brackets last week. I did the reverse psychology, you know, like, okay, Kansas isn't expected to do anything, so maybe they'll actually make a little bit of a run. Well, that
Kansas did get,
but
me
I've actually
too.
Got a lot of chalk. I mean, I've got Houston, I've got UConn. I don't have Purdue. I think I had Kansas beating Purdue, but I've got Illinois. I've got Iowa State. I've got a lot of teams that are still in it right now. I didn't have Kansas winning at all, but I had them going to the Final Four. But that's
my I had Kentucky and Kansas also. Kansas got me pretty good because I had them. I had Gonzaga losing in the first round, and so I had Kansas not playing Gonzaga in the second round, and that largely kind of played into why I thought Kansas would move on to the Sweet 16. I don't know if I told you this. I at the beginning of the tournament, I put $25 on my Final Four team, who I thought would make it to the Final Four. And those, it's still intact. My Final Four teams.
Really?
All four are still intact. $25 to win $3,000. So if they can make it through this weekend, I would be ecstatic. I have Houston, Connecticut, North Carolina, and Tennessee. I feel the best about Connecticut and North Carolina. I don't feel great about Tennessee and Houston right now.
Yeah. A couple comments coming in. David was asking about Caitlin Clark. She was I don't know if it was silent or not, but she, like in that Wright Thompson article at ESPN.com, she was committed to Notre Dame. And in the article, it talks about how she called Muffet McGraw to tell her after she had committed that she was going to sign with Iowa instead. So her entire family, she went to a Catholic high school, you know, like everyone in the school basically expected, like thought that she was going to go to Notre Dame, but she ended up going to Iowa instead. So that was that. And then Brad asking about the injuries and if it reflects on Lauren Lando. Again, like there's nothing, we don't know exactly what the shoulder injury is, but if Benjamin Morrison went up and came down and popped the shoulder socket, which I did both, you know, to my left playing baseball in high school and to my right wrestling in high school, you know, just like the way you jam your shoulder socket when you come down, and that's, you know, that's what, you know, causes that separation. And then what happens with the separation, the bone in your shoulder, you know, in that shoulder joint comes out and it lacerates the labrum, you know, and then from there, you know, you have whatever degree of tear, and that's how, you know, both the pain inside, you know, that labrum / socket and whatever else. So my point is there's nothing Lauren Lando could have done about, or any other strength coach could do about something like that. You know, you're playing football. If you come down, you pop it and it comes out of socket, there's nothing a strength coach can do about that. Just like there's nothing a strength coach can do about a stress fracture developing in a guy's foot who already had an injury, you know, and a plate in that foot when he came in to Notre Dame. It's just very unfortunate. Injuries happen, but both of those things are things that cannot be controlled by the strength coach. Did you hear what happened to Nolan Ziegler?
You're doing the around the world there. Whoa. Yeah,
I mean, I know the Nolan Ziegler story, but it's not something, I don't know if it's, you know, something is being reported out there, but it's not something we're going to talk about here. So that's from the top down. So we're not going to talk about that.
We've made it almost an hour in rapid fire. Did you know that?
Have we really?
Yeah.
Man, we've been going for a while. All right. Do you have a Cinderella team that's still alive in your bracket? I have none. Like you were all in on NC State.
You know
State.
Who it's going to be.
I thought that the NC State magic was going to die after that ACC run, but here they are in the Sweet 16.
I've made some good coin on NC State on this run.
I've taken their money line in like four straight games, ever going back to like the ACC semifinals. It started with Virginia, then it was North Carolina, then it was their first round game, then it was their second round game, and they've been plus money line every game. And I have taken that plus money line every game. Hottest team in the country, most confidence. Their big man is dominating. And they're fun to watch. They are definitely the Cinderella team. And I'm glad I have them losing. It's funny. This is where the show stops for me, though. I don't have them going past the Sweet 16.
Yeah. This could be where – who are they playing? Do you remember off the top of your head? I was just looking at the bracket earlier.
I want to say – it is another low-rated – it's – no, not Duke. Come on. Who is it? Marquette.
Marquette. Yep. That should be a good game, actually, just the way Marquette's played and the way NC State have played.
So. Yeah, and Marquette's got a couple guys who are coming back from recent injuries, right? Like, they got some of their – one of their key players just as the tournament started.
I don't know what Ziegler did at Central Michigan, but there was nothing that he did here at Notre Dame that would term him a bad influence. So I have no idea what happened up at Central Michigan, but I don't think we need to. He's gone. He's moved on. So there's really no reason to kind of beat on that at all. Well, I think that's going to do it. You know, like I said, I don't have any Cinderellas, unfortunately. Like, I thought I might have had one kind of hanging around. I was saying last week my bracket is very chalky, and I forgot. Did you do a women's bracket in our bracket challenge?
Yes, I sure did.
I had mine all set up, and then I forgot to make my picks in the women's. I was looking, I was like, how do I have 0 points? I forgot to go through and make my picks. I started, and then I got distracted and went and did something else. And then I came back and I'm like, are you kidding me? I didn't make any picks.
Did I tell you that I placed a little wager on the women's team to win it all?
Did you? How much?
That was – so I did a bet on each side, the men's side and the women's side. I told you about the Final Four bet that I did. The only reason I did it is because I had a boost. And so, you know me, like, I try to get the most value out of the boost, right? And so I boosted Notre Dame women's to win the national championship, and $25 wins $2,000. So both of those are still alive. I have my Final Four on the men's side, and clearly the women's – are still together. I just really like the women's right now because of the way they're playing defense. Like, it's incredible. And especially in the tournament,
I've been telling you for a while,
to play good defense, baby.
Yep.
And to have the offensive firepower still at the other end. All they got to worry about is these refs. They need to get the whistles out of their mouth and let these teams play. I think that's
a little concerning. That's what I was saying that last night. I'm pretty disappointed in the type of fouls these officials are calling in the NCAA tournament. With the stakes as high as they are right now, you got to get away from these garbage little ticky-tack fouls. There's too much of it all the way around. Like, you're doing nobody any favors, and you're not helping anyone who's actually tuning in to watch the games and wants to see, you know, wants to be entertained, basically, watching the games. You're not helping anything.
I know this. I don't want to get too drug out here, but this is the last comment I have. And I know not a lot of people care about the NBA, and that's fine. But ever since the All-Star break, Adam Silver told referees, hey, stop calling the game so tight. We don't want to see all these fouls. It's what the women need to do in the tournament. Just, you know, let the players play. We're here to see, like we were talking about, Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark, Hannah Hidalgo, you know, Paige Buchers, all these great players are going to be in the arena. That's what we want to see. We want to see the players play. We don't want to see the referees taking over the show.
Concur, Jess. Let's end it on that. All right, so I'm going to be traveling to Albany tomorrow. I'll be in Albany on Thursday, though, and I'll have my end of the show from there. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, we've got a basketball game on Friday. It's looking like no rapid fire show on Friday this week because we've got a 2:30 game, and Vince is already off, and, you know, just everything, you know, so with all the scheduling and stuff like that, most likely.
Good Friday as well. Come on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. That's your mom reminded me that Sunday is Easter, and that's like, yes, totally off my radar with all the basketball and everything else going on. right now.
Yes. So this Friday is Good Friday. We can all reflect and be grateful together.
We are. Vince and I have toyed with the idea of maybe a quick Saturday show if the women make it to the Elite Eight. Like if
an emergency show
on Friday, we might do a Saturday show if people are interested. So maybe I'll put a poll up on the Champions Lounge and see who would be interested in a Saturday show. So Jesse could potentially be in on that as well.
You're welcome, Father David. I know my holidays that I am off work and paid.
All right, well, that's going to do it for today. We appreciate you. As always, hit that like button. And don't just subscribe, but if you're, you know, on your podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify or Apple, playing the podcasts is very important
these just, days. You know, a lot of offices downloads. Have speakers and everything. Just connect the podcast to your Bluetooth speaker at work.
That's all you got
to
do.
Let it play on repeat, and the whole office will love you for dropping knowledge on the office.
That's right. That's right. See how much knowledge we got? That's the way to do it. All right, thanks as always. We will talk to you later on Ivy Nation Sports.